to say some opening words about what blessing means, because this month of October we're going to be exploring the theme of blessing, the practice of sharing that which is good. It seems to me that Fran's words are a wonderful description of blessing. We can be a blessing. We can count our blessings. We can share our blessings. And sometimes we can say no to blessings. But this month we will be exploring together the blessings of our lives. The blessings that we have received, the blessings that we have offered to others, and really reflect on what that word means for us. So this morning I'm going to talk some about what I'm imagining a few of you may have a little push-pull relationship with the word blessing. But for right now, I'm going to invite Carla and Jim to come forward to kindle the flame of our faith. And as they come forward and as they kindle this flame, I invite you to reflect for just a moment on the sparks of blessing. Sparks of light that have been shared with you. May we always see that we are a light and a beacon to share with others. So may it be. We have a wonderful, abundant, loving group on the blanket, on the quilt this morning. And we are talking this morning about blessing, and I was realizing that you guys know a body prayer about blessing that we can maybe teach the adults, because sometimes we need to not just say the things that are important to us, we need to do them, to align our bodies. So if you guys want to, you could even stand up to do the body prayer. You don't have to. You can also stay seated. And remember, I want you guys to help me with this. Remember, we put our hands together and we say, we are blessed. It starts with that. Then we say, we are blessed by being. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, now you're good. It's all coming back now. We are blessed by being here. We are blessed by being here. And then you join hands together. So let's do it. The adults, you are welcome to stand, to rise and rise here if you would like to do our body prayer together. So you start off and each one gets its own space. So you say, we are blessed. We are blessed by being. We are blessed by being here. We are blessed by being here. Invites us to open our beings to a time such as this. Holy One, Spirit of life, presence that is known to us by many names, great mystery. When we kindle these flames each week, we are reminded of all we have loved, of all we have lost, of who we are in the world and who we yet long to be. In this time, we also remember all of the pain around our world, all of those arising this day to a world strewn with war, violence in all forms, poverty, lack. And so we open our hands. Open our hands to be of service. Open our hands so that we might receive, so that we might remember, so that we might be of use. Help us, O Spirit, to remember how much we care. Help us to remember that even small acts make a difference. And when joy enters our lives, when blessings come, may we share that joy and that light with those around us. All that is on our hearts this morning, for all the fears and all the joys, all the blessings and all the struggles, may we hold them in this larger mystery, may we hold them together. So may it be.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Growing up in a Lutheran church, this text from the Old Testament was the quintessential blessing. To express a blessing in this way is to bestow a wish on someone that they will experience the favor or gifts of God. And in this sense, and in the way many people interpret blessing, I am indeed. I have met my soulmate. I live here in this incredibly beautiful place, in a wonderful home, part of this loving spiritual community. And as of Friday, I am an official permanent resident of this magnificent country. The other side of these blessings is gratitude, thankfulness for these gifts. But I am uncomfortable claiming any sort of divine intervention in these blessings. This concept can easily be warped into a belief that I've done something to deserve the good. What does that say for those who struggle, who experience tragedy or lack of any sort? Is it karma? Does what I put out to the universe come back to me in some way? I really don't know. But what I do know is that I am lucky, fortunate by birth and circumstance. And so I prefer a different perspective on blessing. I read somewhere that in Christianity, to be blessed means to be in the kingdom of God, or as Shana would say, in the kingdom. To be in the kingdom means to be in loving community with others. And in community, we share. I can see that I can be a blessing, a gift to others by giving what I have, my time, my talents, my love. Blessing is not only a receiving, it is a giving. And I pray for constant recognition that what I have is enough. not enough, more than enough, enough to share.
Enjoy that lovely version. And did you notice that God's gender changed at the end? Transgender God is one I can believe in. Morning's reading comes from my dear colleague, the Reverend Kathleen McTeague, from her absolutely beautiful meditation manual, Shine and Shadow. This meditation is entitled, How to Give a Blessing. We're asked a dozen times a day, how are you? Most of the time, it's not a real question and doesn't invite a genuine answer. It's more like an alternative hello, and we're well trained in the ritual response. Fine, thanks. But every once in a while, we are asked this question when things are really not fine at all. At those times, when we're walking around in a little bubble of anxiety and sorrow, something inside us can suddenly balk at giving out the standard meaningless answer. We are too hungry for an authentic word, too raw to pretend that things are okay. The morning after my father died, after 3 days and nights of an around-the-clock vigil with my siblings, I had to go to the grocery store to buy a few things for dinner. When I arrived at the checkout counter and the clerk distractedly said, "How are you?" my brain went blank. I couldn't say fine or even okay. I wasn't okay. I wasn't even in my right mind. I was numb, sleep-deprived, and saturated with the mystery of our mortality. That's the only explanation I have, because to my horror, I found myself blurting out a real and honest answer. "I'm not so good," I said. "My dad died last night." With his hands filled with the apples, chicken, and bread, the poor clerk turned red and started to stammer. The people behind me looked longingly at the checkout lines they should have chosen. The ones that would not have placed them in earshot of the too much information lady. I was mortified at having revealed to an unprepared stranger just how not fine I was. Everyone froze in this moment of uncomfortable paralysis, except the young man bagging the groceries, who had Down's syndrome. He stopped moving completely, looked straight at me, and with a little slur and great emphasis said, "I bet you feel really sad about that." The simplicity of that little expression of kindness and solidarity allowed both the clerk and me to escape. "Yes, I do. Thank you," I said to him. I thought about that encounter for a long time. He was the only one able to offer what counted in that particular moment. He knew how to give a blessing. A sense of blessing. That meeting gets me every time. I'm not sure when the word blessing became contentious. The word or the concept, and for whom. But it has been clear to me for decades now that it is one of of the spiritual words that is wrangled over. On the one hand, I think it is seen as a Christian, or seen as drawn from the Judeo-Christian tradition, and because of what some have seen as coming along with that word, the baggage, if you will, it has been rejected. On the other hand, it is a lovely word. We have many common parlance phrases that utilize it. As I said earlier, we count our blessings. We sometimes say, "She blessed me with her presence." We sometimes will comment that a moment of silence was a blessing for me. After all, when someone sneezes, we sometimes say, "Bless you." In our gut, it is as if we know what a blessing is or how it feels. We have a sense or an experience of the meaning of the word blessing beyond whatever contention the word might conjure. In some ways, it seemed to me, as I reflected on it recently, blessing is not all that different from another word that I gave up on and then reclaimed because I found it too valuable and, quite frankly, too hard to live without. Grace. When I think of the criticisms of blessing, I know what they are because I used to believe all of them. Some people think blessing is too much magical thinking. Oh, it's a blessing. Some people think it's overly touchy-feely. She was a blessing. Or even a bit, to use one of Leslie's phrases, woo-woo. It's as if we think a blessing is a little bit like someone waving a magic wand and saying, "Oh, that's a blessing over here." And some even criticize blessing as too externalized. I'm not going to wait around for somebody to bestow a blessing. I'm going to go do something about it. Sometimes we feel people use the word blessing in ways that are too trite, so as to almost make the word meaningless. And perhaps most troubling of all, as Dan mentioned, we sometimes feel that people claim or take a blessing as theirs, and only theirs, which is rightfully shared, or not as narrow or confined as some people would have us believe. In other words, some people have used blessing in a very exclusive kind of way. Some people are blessed and going to heaven, and a whole bunch of people aren't. I get all of these criticisms, and I used to ascribe to them all so fervently that I struck the word blessing from my vocabulary. But then a strange thing happened. Blessing wouldn't let go of me. More than a decade ago, I read this rather remarkable book, and I recommend it to you. I see some of you bring notepads to write down these things like the books I say. The Singular Pilgrim by Rosemary Mahoney. And that book got me thinking. Mahoney is this kind of like a travel writer in a way. She writes these fascinating books about going to various parts of the world and her experience of it. And she decided that as her project, she was going to go to all of these pilgrimage locations all around the world and write about what she experienced there. So there's a chapter on Lourdes in France. There's a chapter on Varanasi in India, and being on the banks of the Ganges. There's a chapter about the Holy Land in which she spent this lovely afternoon on this tiny little raft in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And she goes to all of these places, and she tells you in the introduction that she in part goes because she doesn't believe in any of them. She starts off saying, "I don't really understand what these pilgrims are seeking. I don't know what it is they're hoping to find, and I want to get at it a little bit and try to see if I can't figure out the purpose of these pilgrimages." She even wrote a whole chapter on the Camino de Santiago, which is part of the reason I went there, because she wrote about it, and I thought, this sounds fascinating. So here she is, a skeptic, going to all of these places where people go for healing, for understanding, for soul searching. And in spite of herself, she finds there's something meaningful in these adventures that these pilgrims go on. She wants to understand not whether or not they're actually transformed, not whether someone who has a limp and goes to Lourdes gets some of the water on them and is suddenly healed, but rather how they feel about their experience in these locations. These people are seeking blessing, explicit blessing, and seeking to make greater sense of their lives. And Mahoney, skeptic though she was, thinking it all foolish nonsense, leaves at least respecting the impulse, if not fully understanding why. I realized after I read her book that I actually take it a step further than she does. I don't just respect the impulse that people have to seek blessing. I actually see pilgrimage and ritual in many of its forms as the way that we try to remind ourselves of what we have been and where we are headed, of the ways that we have been blessed and the ways that we hope to continue to be blessed. We go to ritual, we go on pilgrimages because we have found that at moments in our lives we have felt blessed by a place or a person, that the sense of blessing has to do with a feeling. Some of you might describe it as feeling at peace. Some of you might call it being held or at home in the world or at home in your life. When people feel blessed, I hear them say things like, "I am where I was meant to be," or "I am living a life I believe in," or "I am grateful for the moments I have felt loved." A sense of blessing is real, whether or not you have ever called it that. Next weekend, we are approaching the Count Your Blessings time of year, are we not? Thanksgiving. When we count our blessings, it means we focus our awareness and seek ways to appreciate the life that we have, to appreciate where we have been fortunate and loved, to appreciate the times and the moments in life when things have gone our way, or if we're in the midst of a hard time in our lives, perhaps it feels a little bit more like minimally looking for the things, the moments where things have not gone our way. We pause, we take stock, we look at what is and what has been, and we realize, to varying degrees, of course, that in all of the possibilities and all of the permutations of what could have been in our lives, and in the midst of many trying times that we have made our way through, we have still somehow experienced our fair share of moments of goodness. We see, when we take stock, if there are good or beautiful moments that we can point to and say, in spite of the hardships and the falling short and the less than what I had hoped for or wanted, there have been moments. I have been blessed. Of course, we say this about things tiny and huge. It could have been a blessing that was something like a sunny day on a day that your mood was low and the forecast called for rain. It could have been a blessing when someone that you felt distant from called when you thought they no longer cared. Maybe it was a blessing. blessing when you found just a fragment of affirmation for yourself after feeling so much negativity? If I were a betting person, I would wager that we have all had experiences of blessing, whether or not we have called it that. We chose to call this month of exploring blessing the practice of sharing what is good, because we can be a blessing or we can offer one. We can share what is good in our lives, in our beings, with others. And we can, and do too often, withhold blessings as well. Keep good things well enough to ourselves, hoard them for a rainy day. And so, if nothing else this morning, I hope to invite you to do less hoarding and more sharing. To look at what is good within you and within your life and share it into the larger circle of blessing and goodness, so that blessing might ripple out from you to include a larger and larger sphere. And of course, since I know many of you don't necessarily have great things going on in your lives right now, I have to say that sharing what is good doesn't always mean what is happy or easy. Sharing what is good could be an experience of your own resilience. It could be what you've learned from having to let go. Because it can be a blessing to find that others have made it through and found a way, as you are trying to do the same. Whatever your connection to the word or concept of blessing, this month I invite you to revisit it. What did blessing mean to you that it no longer does? What do you want blessing to mean for you now? If it isn't a meaningful concept for you, is there something similar that is? To finish, I would like to invite us to share in a responsive reading. So if you'll grab a hymnal near you, I invite you to open to the back of your hymnal to number 536. 536. Find there the holy words of Mary Oliver, at the risk of using too much Mary Oliver, since I just quoted her a few weeks ago, but is there such a thing as too much Mary Oliver? No. Okay, so we're going to read together her poem entitled Morning Poem, and I'm going to read the plain text and invite you to read the italicized text there. Morning Poem. Every morning, the world is created.
The dark shapes of the sun, the deep ashes of the night, turn into leaves again.
And fasten themselves to the high branches. And the ponds appear like black cloth on which are painted islands of summer lilies. If it's all you can do to keep on trudging,
there is still somewhere deep within you, at least shouting that the earth is exactly what it wants.
Each pond, with its blazing lilies, is a prayer heard and answered lavishly every morning.
Whether or not you have ever dared to
whether or not you have ever dared to be happy, says the poet. Whether or not you have ever dared to pray. Whether or not you have thrown out the word blessing because it was too woo-woo. Blessing is a word, my friends, that will find you. That you have experienced whether or not you have ever dared to utter it or embrace it. So may that sense of blessing find us, and may we be grateful for the times that it has and does, now and always. Blessed be, and amen. Blessing can take so many forms. Whether the young man at the checkout counter who says, "I bet you feel really sad about that." Whether the smile of a stranger when you felt that the world was not on your side. Whether waking up another morning to the beauty of this place. Breath in your lungs, the loves in your life. Whether or not you have ever dared to utter the word blessing, it has found you, and may it find you again and keep you and hold you. So may it be.